behind the back, wrap around, and climbing the ladder is Dante Hall.
Sexton. Step back. Good! Patty at three. Oh, he's a flamethrower! What a shot! 6-3 to the win! It's good! It's good! It's good! Colin Sexton made the floater! They'll review it! But oh, mercy! Colin Sexton may have saved the season!
Tigers set to trigger it in. Smart gets it into Watford. Threw it away. He'll run it down to the backcourt. Hugh will take it to the top of the arc. Watford three at the buzzer, blocked by Herb. The putback, no. The buzzer sounds. And Bama hangs on. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast, your source for all things Alabama basketball. And I am your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network. You can find me on Twitter at HarperNation24 for all things Alabama basketball, whether it's in season, off season, doesn't matter. And right now, Alabama season is not over yet. Alabama moves on to the Elite Eight after defeating number one seed North Carolina 89-87 in Crypto Arena in Los Angeles to finally break the Sweet 16 curse that Alabama's been in since 2004 when they made their first and last Elite Eight appearance, where they ended up losing to eventual national champions UConn Huskies in the Mecca Okafors. And what an insane game that this was. It was just beautiful basketball. There wasn't a lot of fouls. There wasn't any breaks in the action, it seemed like. It was just great flowing basketball up and down the court. Two teams that like to get up and down. Alabama has the 10th fastest tempo, and North Carolina had the 42nd. So you knew those teams were wanting to get up and down. And I was curious to see how Hubert Davis would play it. If Hubert Davis would try to outthink himself, try to slow down the tempo, knowing that Alabama plays faster than anyone in the ACC, overall adjusted tempo-wise, the quickest team in the ACC was Florida State at 33. That's nowhere close to where Alabama is. It's nowhere close to as good of a team that Alabama is, because Florida State's adjusted offensive rating was 91 to Alabama's 4. So when you look at it, North Carolina hasn't played a team like this tempo-wise since Kentucky earlier in the season, and they ended up losing that game 87-83. What was the score tonight? 89-87. So very similar games that they had against Kentucky and Alabama. I thought that was very interesting. And something kind of brought up on Twitter earlier this week, kind of just breaking down the ACC in general. How do they compare to Alabama? No one in the league compares to Alabama in terms of how they play. And I think North Carolina got an up-close and personal look at it to where they really didn't know what to do tempo-wise. They played Alabama's pace in the first half, and they ended up doing really, really well, a lot better than probably what their averages played out to be throughout the year, to where you had guys like Elliott Cadeau and Seth Trimble hitting multiple threes apiece who are below 30% three-point shooters. I mean, Alabama was letting them take those, and give them credit, they ended up making them. But North Carolina, they played that pace all the way throughout, and you had to kind of feel good if you're Alabama. I know they were down 8, but you had UNC playing faster than they wanted, and you knew that wasn't going to last overall. UNC only made 2 three-pointers in the second half after making 10 in the first half, including 5 from Alabama's best friend, Cormac Ryan, who just torched Alabama 2 years ago in the NCAA tournament with Notre Dame. And, you know, hate to see him leave college finally. I believe he's, 24, 25 years old now. But, you know, we'll kind of jump into the stats here in a second. But I just want to kind of paint a picture for you. It's been 20 years. I remember when I was in Syracuse to go on to the Elite Eight. And I just couldn't believe it. Alabama's never made it that far in their history. Now here I am, 32 years old, watching it happen again live. And against the number one seed, North Carolina. And the last time they made it, they defeated the defending national champion, Syracuse. So you're going to play tough games throughout the tournament. And that's what this game was. You had a pretty easy road to get here, facing Charleston and Grand Canyon. No disrespect to them, but they're not of the competition level as a blue blood North Carolina team. So you knew you'd have to defeat a higher seed eventually. And what a game it was. Let's just hop right into the stats here. Alabama shot very, very well, 47% from the field. They did shoot 11 less times than North Carolina. North Carolina dominated the offensive rebounding battle 22-15. So you kind of figured that would happen with a guy like Armando Bacot down low. And Nick Pringle and Grant Nelson really didn't want to get in foul trouble. So you saw them kind of back off of him a couple times to prevent getting in foul trouble, to keep those guys on the court down the stretch. And it ended up working out. You know, Bacot actually missed a few shots around the rim that he typically makes. But give Alabama credit that they held their own in the rebounding battle, 46-43. They lost that battle. But to keep it respectable, considering their size inside and the girth they have, was a huge W for the Tide. But Alabama shot 47% from the field, 42% from three. They actually made one less three than North Carolina, so the live by the three, die by the three crowd is quiet once again tonight. Hate to see that, but Alabama shot 42% overall. They made four threes to North Carolina's two in the second half, and that ended up being the difference. You know, there wasn't a lot of free throw shot because it was a pretty clean game overall. Alabama went 14 of 20, and North Carolina went 15 of 17. So basically pretty even right there, close to even in the overall rebounding battle. Assists, Alabama had 13 assists on 32 made shots. You know, if it's over a third of the made shots or assists for Alabama, you know that the offense was really clicking, and it sure was tonight. The second half, it really wasn't. Give credit to North Carolina. They have an elite defense. They're top 10 in KenPom for a reason. But Alabama ended up putting 89 on them, just being the more consistent team in both halves. You know, they scored 46 and 43 respectively, while North Carolina had a great first half. But Alabama's defense held North Carolina to 33 points in the second half. You know, North Carolina's a top 20 KenPom offensive team as well. So they're no slouch offensively. But Alabama's defense, the defense that keeps getting ragged on all year, and rightfully so, they've given up a lot of stinkers throughout the year. But the last two games Alabama's played has been absolutely incredible defensively. You know, gave up 33 points this half and gave up 31 and 30 in two halves of basketball against Grand Canyon. Now, the Charleston game was a little it was kind of misconstrued because of the second half. They just kind of quit playing there in the last 6-7 minutes. But Alabama's defense has really stepped up the past couple games, and that's what ended up winning this game, getting stops down the stretch and allowed the offense to score points when it mattered the most. And Alabama actually had more blocks than North Carolina, 7-3, five of those being Grant Nelson, who we'll cover here in a second. But outside of that, it was really a clean game. There was only 12 combined fast break points. So while it was an up-and-down tempo, nobody was really getting out snowboarding and getting quick, easy buckets. But it was a very, very fast-paced game, and one that was – very enjoyable to watch. Now, let's go into the individual box scores, and this is kind of where the game was won. And I'll kind of point that out. Grant Nelson, the player of the game, probably the player of the Sweet 16 round, if I had to guess. I didn't watch much of the North or the Connecticut game against San Diego State. It was kind of a snooze fest there where UConn won by 30, and I saw Stephon Castle had a really good game, but I guarantee he didn't influence the game the way Grant Nelson did tonight. 24 points, 12 boards, 5 blocks. One of those blocks being the game winner at the end of the game after he missed a free throw, where he was also 12 of or 10 of 13 from the line overall. Have the best game of his career in the biggest game of his career. I mean, just incredible. He is a guy that has been dogged on by Alabama fans all throughout the season, myself included. I did not like how Grant Nelson only had 2 rebounds against Grand Canyon and College of Charleston in 37 minutes the first 2 rounds of the tournament. And he's always been a guy that's kind of come up soft in certain areas or certain times of the year. But give him credit. Bravo, 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 Grant Nelson. He put the team on his back when it mattered the most. He had a quick 5-point run when it was tied 77-77, where he hit a 3 and got a bucket inside to force Hubert Davis into a timeout with just under 4 minutes to go in the game. Rylan Griffin, who I think was the second best player on the court tonight, and yes, that includes Armando Bacot, RJ Davis, Harrison Ingram. Rylan Griffin guarded RJ Davis majority of the time. Now, he switched off to Cormac Ryan some in the second half because Cormac Ryan was demolishing Alabama, and he had 5 made threes in the first half. Rylan Griffin's on him in the second. How many did he have to finish? 5 made threes. He didn't make a single shot in the second half. RJ Davis finished 4 of 20, 0 of 9 from 3. And that is a big reason why Rylan Griffin is a prospective NBA player by scouts, being a 6'6", 6'7" wing that can light it up from 3. He hit 5 of 8 overall from 3, 6 of 12 from the field, had 19 points, and he can lock down your best player. He's had some shaky times this year on the perimeter, but tonight you could tell he was locked in from the tip. RJ Davis had a tough time. He had Cormac Ryan in the torture chamber in the second half. Just an incredible, incredible game by Rylan. And the two guys in the backcourt, backcourts win in March. They're the biggest difference. And Aaron Estrada and Mark Sears finished with 37 combined points, Sears with 18, Estrada with 19. And while they didn't have their crazy 9 rebounds, 8 assists game of each of those, but they made plays when they needed it the most. Aaron Estrada, he made some crazy shots late in the first half, early in the second half. Mark Sears came up big with a couple of 3-pointers to keep an Alabama at arm's length from North Carolina. And those 4 guys, while Nick Pringle's not getting talked about a lot, he did play some pretty solid defense. He gave a lot of great energy. He did have 9 rebounds in the game. But those 4 guys, the 4 mainstays, you got 3 seniors and a sophomore that impacted this game the most. Now look at the minutes distribution. Mark Sears, all 40 minutes. Aaron Estrada, 35. Grant Nelson, 36. Rylan Griffin, 29. You only had 41 combined minutes from the bench, with Jaren Stevenson and Sam Walters having 15 of those, or of each of those. So those 4 guys who have been carrying Alabama all year carried them one more time to push them to the Elite Eight and to advance past North Carolina. So let's touch on North Carolina here for a second. You had Armando Bacot with his 19 and 12 game, 19 points, 12 boards. He only had a block, 2 steals. He didn't affect the game defensively a whole lot. He turned the ball over 3 times, which was nearly half of UNC's total turnovers. And he shot 8 of 18 from the field, a guy that typically stays around 55, 60%. you know, shot well below 50% overall. So give some credit to Nick Pringle. I mentioned him not being talked about enough because of the box score he had. But he gave Armando Bacot fits. And the biggest second half adjustment I thought that Nate Oates had was putting Armando Bacot in ISO situations with Grant Nelson at the five, bringing him out to the perimeter. And Grant Nelson was just driving past him every single time. He had one insane switch of the hand reverse layup in the second half, which you knew that Grant Nelson was in his bag when you saw that happen. Armando Bacot could not cover Grant Nelson. And that was a huge adjustment I thought that Nate Oates decided to do, as well as run UNC off the three-point line and force them to make tough twos. And they did not. They hit 18 of 46 overall from two. Now, some of those were mid-range, but there was a lot of close-at-the-basket shots that North Carolina missed because Alabama's rim defense was stellar, I thought. And they forced them into tougher twos instead of those open threes that they were giving them. So kudos to Nate Oates and the second half adjustment him and his staff made to propel Alabama to win this game. RJ Davis, 4 of 20 overall, 16 points. Cormac Ryan finished with the same amount of points or the same amount of made threes that he had in the first half to the second half. Finished with 17. I think he had two free throws in the second half to give him 17. And then Harrison Ingram, who hit a couple threes, a couple tough threes actually. I was surprised by him making those, but he finished with 19 or 12 points and 9 rebounds and 5 assists, excuse me. He's a future pro. So you had guys that have been in college for a long time. This is the type of team that can go far in March. Great backcourt play. Big guy. Dominant big guy. And experience. But a team that nobody expected, or at least the Alabama fan base expected to go far in March because of their defense, came up strong and came up big in the second half, holding North Carolina to 33 points to propel them to the Elite Eight for the first time in 20 years. Sorry I said that again, but it is incredible to hear and just an incredible feeling if you're an Alabama fan that's been waiting a long time to see this. Now, what happens next? Alabama goes on. They'll place Clemson in the Elite Eight, six-seeded Tigers, who Alabama already faced earlier this year and lost in Tuscaloosa. It was one of two home losses that they had all season long. To Clemson back in November, and then Tennessee at home, as everybody knows, lost that game 81-74. But let's revisit that game against Clemson back November 28th. That's a long time ago. That's exactly 4 months ago. So a lot has changed. This team was just now getting kind of adjusted to each other. This was the seventh game of the season. They really haven't had a test all year before this. So they went to the tournament where they faced, or the little, you know, early season tournament where they faced Ohio State and Oregon, where they lost Ohio State and then beat Oregon. So they also defeated Indiana State by 22 earlier that year as well. But Clemson was a team that came in undefeated. They were 5-0. Team that is very, very experienced with PJ Hall. And you knew that they would pose a threat with him, Joseph Girard, Chase Hunter. Those guys, they're very talented, and they've been in college for a long time. So you knew they would pose a challenge to a team like Alabama, who just now got new players, new coaches. They're trying to fill each other out, trying to figure out how to play together. And Clemson clipped them. They came in, and while it was a one-point game at halftime, they put up 52 points in the second half on Alabama and ended up winning 85-77. So kind of what happened that game that caused the second half to kind of implode. Well, Clemson hit pretty much everything. They shot 53% from the field, while Alabama shot 34%. If I had to go back and look, which I haven't, I pretty much just hopped on here shortly after the game. I would imagine this was probably one of the worst overall shooting performances that Alabama's had all season. Now, Mark Sears, 14 for 23 points. Aaron Estrada was 6 for 16. Grant Nelson was 4 for 15. Grant Nelson took 8 threes that game. That's not going to happen this time around. Aaron Estrada took 8 threes that game. That isn't going to happen this time around. The reason being is because these players have found their roles within this team. Latrell Reitzel, hopefully he's back for Saturday's game. Who knows? But if Latrell Reitzel's thrown in there, he only played 22 minutes that game and only took 4 shots, only 2 from 3. You know that's not going to be the same. Sam Walters only played 8 minutes. He'll obviously play probably double that. Jaren Stevenson only played 8 minutes. He'll probably double that as well. And then Muhammad Waghee started that game. Nick Pringle did not. So there's a lot of things that changed for Alabama in this game. While Clemson, P.J. Hall had 21 points, 4 blocks. Joe Girard had 16 points, 4 of 7 shooting from 3. Chase Hunter had 15 on 3 of 5 shooting from 3. So you saw Clemson play one of their best games offensively all season back in November, and Alabama played one of their worst offensively. They've only scored in the 70s, I believe, 4 or 5 times, and this was one of those games. Now, when you look at Clemson, they are very solid both offensively and defensively. They're 33rd in adjusted defense, and they're 24th in adjusted offense, and they play a very slow pace. So they do not want to get up and down. They're 257th in tempo. So Clemson has the formula to beat Alabama again to go to the Final Four. It's going to be a fascinating coaches duel between Oates and Brownwell. Because how much of what they did back then will they do the same this time? Because Clemson's not going to be able to live off shooting 53% from the field and 52% from three. Because in the Elite Eight, not many teams shoot that well. Okay, although it was on the road, in that crowd, from what I remember, was pretty hostile. But went on the road and shot that well. You're not going to do that in an Elite Eight game. I'm sorry. So if you factor that in and factor in that Alabama will more than likely shoot better than 34% overall from the field, and they shot 11 of 35 from three, it's going to be a totally different ball game. It's just going to be fascinating to see how Alabama and Clemson both play this game, because Alabama has the chemistry now with their current roster, their current team. They have their current rotations, roles. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Okay. If that happened back in November, I'm pretty sure that Alabama would have won by 10 or more. Can you use this game that was played back in November and use it for this Elite Eight game? Absolutely. Because I think where Alabama is going to use this game is going to be for motivation and for drive to avenge that loss. When you have that going for you, it's a dangerous thing. For this game, Alabama opened up as a 1.5-point favorite. Now it's all the way up to 3.5, just 2 hours after being posted. So I think everybody knows that Alabama is a better team than Clemson. Clemson's really hot right now, defeating Arizona, but Alabama's got better talent, a better style, and while Clemson's beaten Arizona and Baylor the past two games and also a hot New Mexico team, they've had a tougher road. How much are they wore down? Where are their legs at? Because Alabama's going to test them. I've always said that if you play a Nate Oates team in a tournament style and you play them that second time, on the weekend. Not having a week to prepare, but that next game where you have to turn around a day later and have a day to prepare. Now, they know a little bit more about what Alabama tries to do and what their tempo is, but it's totally different preparing it with a game that has this type of magnitude to it. So I am excited for this game. I hate rematches in the NCAA tournament, but if it means Alabama is in the Elite Eight, heck, fire up any rematch you want. I'm going to be excited to watch it. Just take a breath. Enjoy this day, which was yesterday. I'm recording this at 1 a.m. Central Time because I could not wait another day to record this. But just take a breath. Enjoy it. Watch all the highlights you can. All the pressers after the game. Watch all the pundits that, you know, went in thinking UNC was going to trounce Alabama just because Alabama doesn't play defense and they barely beat Grand Canyon. Enjoy all of it because it's been 20 years since this has all happened. I know I am. Because on Saturday night at 7:30, Alabama will be playing for a spot in the Final Four. If that doesn't get you hyped as a fan, nothing will, or you're not a true Alabama basketball fan. So I appreciate everyone listening to this latest episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated. Please go get a subscription to Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network. A lot of Alabama basketball content being pumped out over there, as well as spring football, which is right around the corner as well. But right now it is Alabama basketball season, where they have a chance to go to the Final Four on Saturday night at 7:30 against the Clemson Tigers. The six-seeded Clemson Tigers is the opponent that stands in their way. So until next time, I appreciate everyone listening to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. Adios.